everyone. Thanks for checking out this podcast. I hope today's conversation inspires you and builds your faith for the moment you are in right now. Know that God's love for you truly changes everything. Enjoy the message.
Have you ever been through a week that's just been one of those weeks, right? And God and I have been having one of those weeks this week. And I thought about how I was going to start this message. And until it came out, I had no idea. And it's got nothing, it will have to do with the stick in a minute. But I want you to know something about me and my heart's desire. Is that as I age, I am pressed more and more by God. That it's about the people that don't know him yet. And that everything of my energy and intelligence and being, all that I have, has to be about helping people to know him. And I just want you to know that. And I hope that is the same desire for you. And as we get to the end of today, maybe God will place something in your heart the same way. Like, I just can't stop thinking about it every time I see somebody. That's why we exist as a church. That's why we exist as part of God's family. So, to get to the stick. This stick is actually 43 years old. This stick and this stick are one of the few things that when we move, it actually travels with me and not with movers. When I was 15 years old, I got a chance to be part of the team that played in the Air Canada Cup, which used to be the National Midget Championship. It's called something else now. I don't know what it's called. But in that moment in time, all the people that I had shared life with to that point as a 15-year-old, I had signed this stick as a memory of that moment in time. All their names are on it, and I've kept this stick all these years. And then 20 years ago, I was asked by a group of people that were running the hockey program in Iowa if I would coach a team. They had this one group of kids that they didn't have a coach for, and nobody wanted to step up and coach them. And would I be willing to do it? They knew my background. They said, well, you've got background in hockey. Why don't you coach them? And I said, my daughter's on the other team. And they said, well, we'll move her to your team. And I said, all right, okay, fine. So they moved. And I can remember showing up at the first practice. And the kids, half of them couldn't even skate. And the other half didn't even want to be there because their parents made them join hockey. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I have every kid that no other coach wanted to have on their team. And I can remember stepping onto the ice and listening and watching this. And I said to myself, I can't coach them like I know how to coach them. I can't coach them to play hockey in the traditional formats and styles and drills and knowledge that I know. I have to teach them in a very non-traditional way in order to get them to love the game and to learn the game at the same time. So I did drill. I went home after that first practice, and I made drills up that are still not used to this day anywhere I know in hockey. And I had to teach, I'm not going to get into a whole lot of hockey, but skates have edges, inside edge, outside edge. That's how you teach how to skate. I had to do drills that forced them to use inside, outside edges without them knowing they were actually using inside, outside edges, just they were having fun on the ice. I came off the ice after that first practice, and I knew what was going to happen. There was a group of parents that met me very quickly at the exit from the ice and go, what in the world are you doing? So I'm coaching your kids. And they said, I've never seen any of those drills. I played hockey. Oh, great. I appreciate that. And I said, but you asked me to coach your kids. The league asked me to coach your kids. I'm here to coach your kids. This went on for about half the season, doing non-traditional methods to teach them to love the game of hockey and how to learn the game of hockey. Halfway through the season, we were in last place. Everybody loved to play us because it helped with their stats. But unbeknownst to me, when we got to the end of the season, every team made the playoffs. And I can remember when we got to the end of the season, seeing them change. And we went to our first playoff game, and it was one of those where if you don't win, you don't move on. And we won. And we won. And we won, and we got to the championship game against the top team in the league. And I brought this stick into the room. And I said to them, you have learned the game of hockey in a very non-traditional way. But you have learned it. And now you love it. And the difference between good teams and great teams is great teams win championships. And I said, go out there and be a great team. At our end of season banquet 20 years ago, they gave me this stick, which is all their names signed on it. Because that day, we won 2-1. When it comes to us in the church, we have to still be the church without acting like a church. Because the way that people find their way to Christ today is going to be done in very non-traditional ways that we're used to. The things that we've done, the conversations we've had, and the things that we've taught, not the gospel, not the word of God, we're not compromising that. The programs, the ways that we've done it, we're going to be challenged to do that. And as lead pastor here, probably, I would guess more than anyone else, when we do something that's different than non-traditional, do you know who hears? This guy. Usually through emails in my inbox. And I'm here to tell you today that because I love Jesus, and I know you love Jesus, and there's other people that need to love Jesus, that we've got to do things a little differently than the way we've always done it. And that's going to challenge us sometimes. See, what happens is, and what's happened over time, as we've built buildings and reached out and people have come, is that we've kind of gotten comfortable. We've kind of gotten used to sitting where we sit. We've kind of gotten used to parking where we park. We've kind of gotten used to the room being at a certain temperature. We've gotten used to the music being at a certain volume. We've gotten used to, I like that song, I don't like that song. Or you know what? We're not worshiping for you. We're worshiping for the King of Kings. We'll come in and we'll go, I don't like that speaker. I like that speaker. I don't like what he said. I like what she said. I don't like the way Christmas was done. I don't like the way Easter is done. I don't like the way they're doing anything. And like all good Christians, we do things that are not very Christian. We gossip about it. We talk to others about it instead of the person we should talk to. Or we go on social media and put what we don't like because that's the right thing to do. I am telling you right now, the reason part of our culture and world is so upside down is because if you put anything on social media, if you don't know this, I'm about to blow your mind. You put anything on social media, you'll find enough people that think the same way that you'll think you're the King of Kings. And you're not. The other thing that people do, they go, I've had enough of that church. I'm just going to leave. I call that voting with your feet. And sometimes it's okay to have holy subtractions. Do I want that? No. But you've got to know today that we exist for people to find their way to Jesus Christ. We don't exist today for you to be comfortable sitting in here on a Sunday. There's people then that'll support and join, which we like, and we rally around. It can't be about personal preferences. I want to know what is the Holy Spirit calling you to do, and that you're going to do it, whether I agree with it or not, and you're just going to make it happen because you know it's a God-ordained calling on your life. And if I see that in you, God's going to affirm that, and I'm going to say, let's go to war with the enemy. Because the thing is, we can't sit back. We've got to be on the offense. Galatians 6, 9, 10 says this. Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. I think sometimes the church, not church just Moncton West, and church as a whole, has given up. We complain about the culture. We complain about everything that's happening in our midst. But the bottom line is that we serve a greater King. I hear people, and I've said this for years myself, and there's nothing wrong with what I'm about to say. They go, I want to be more like Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be more like Jesus, to be humble, to be loving, to be forgiving, to be grace-filled, to just be the person in the life with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's another part of what it means to be like Jesus other than his characteristics. And that is to be in a relationship with unbelievers. That's another part of what it means to be like Jesus, inside and outside our church. It can't just be the characteristics. I know you're weary. There's days that I'm weary. But we've got Jesus. See, if we go to Mark 6, let me read this to you, Mark 6, 34 to 44. And it's the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By the time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place. They said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give to them to eat? And then Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And Jesus directed them to have all the people sit in the group in the grass. And so they sat in hundreds and fifties. 2 fish is what they had. 2 fish. There's only 2. There's 3 more there. And 5 loaves of bread is all that they had. I got to tell you, standing here this morning, I don't think this would feed us. But Jesus blessed it and said, distribute it. 5,000 men, the scripture says, were filled full to satisfaction. What we miss in that sometimes is that the 5,000 men were also accompanied by women and children And it said everyone was fed. And then he told them to collect what was left and put baskets this size, 12 of them of leftovers they picked up. You see, Jesus built relationships with the people that followed him. He was there for them so that they could understand what he was bringing. He met their needs. He spoke into their lives. And the disciples wanted to send them away. There's days that you're going to feel like that. There's times that you're going to feel, I just don't got it anymore. You know what? Jesus does. We're doing EB starting again. You know, Pastor Liz is going to start recruiting and asking everybody to be involved in that. And I think she said on the video, 3,000 people will be in this building. Like, that is crazy. But what an opportunity to feed 3,000 people, literally and also through who we are in relationship. It's an incredible opportunity for us. But more than that, it's us putting our personal preferences aside to say, I'm going to make that a priority. I'm going to invest in relationships in a non-traditional, EB is non-traditional in how we do ministry. We're going to invest in relationships. One of the cool things is that if you don't realize, even with our new Into the Family baptisms that happened that we celebrated this morning, God is building an army. Whether you realize it or not, culture thinks they're making a shift. That's because the enemy knows we're building an army. Because it says in 1 Corinthians, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, and you let me read to you, the body is a unit that is made up of many parts. And though all the parts are many, they are one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. Now the body is made up of many parts. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be the reason to cease being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not be for the reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were just an eye, where would we sense of hearing be? The whole body were an ear, where would we have the sense of smell? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, many parts, but one body. We all bring something different to the body. And if you're sitting in this room, it's because God selected for you to be part of this body specifically because of how you were designed and created by him. Others who have yet to follow Christ, who have yet to make that commitment, I want you to remember something about them. They were created in the image of God, just like each one of us. And they don't know it, but need to be brought back into the body of Christ, to be under the head of one body. And that's where we come in from a relationship standpoint. See, there's many a times that I've watched people, and I didn't think of this until the other day, I've watched many people over the years come down and give their lives to Christ, or hear of stories in small groups where they give their lives to Christ. And now I want to ask the question that only you can answer for yourself. When you gave your life to Christ, was it just a burial of the old, or was it a planting of a new life that would come out of that forgiveness that comes from him? because it is both a burial and a new life. And if you have not planted or taken that new life that he has for you, that can still happen, and you claim that. He wants that more for you than anything, but the purpose of our lives is the purpose that God reveals to you as part of the body to move the kingdom forward for his purposes. Most of you know by now, we're gonna launch new kingdom locations because not everybody's gonna come to 945 St. George. And we know that. So we're gonna do what God's calling us to do, and we're gonna go to where they are. And we're gonna build relationships. How many of you, if I was to ask you, have intentional relationships with unbelievers? And I'm not talking about your family, and I'm not even talking about your close friends. I'm talking about people in your workplace, people in your activities, whether it be recreational or whatever things else you belong to or put your time into. Do you have those? Because you know what? The army that he's building, I'm standing in front of in this building right now. Because we may think culture is winning and culture's taking over. That is the secret that they don't know, because God has been placing each one of you strategically where you are to build relationships with the people that you talk to and interact with in the workplace, in recreation, in the grocery store, no matter where you are. He is building his team, and his army is going to rise up. But the old way will be, hey, do you know Jesus? And what happens most of the time is people back away. You have to build a relationship first. You have to invest in the people. You have to know what their need, what it is that they're missing in their life that they're trying to fill, or you'll never understand it. And God will lead you to the scripture that speaks into that part of their life where you can love them, where you can care for them, where you can speak into their life and be there because they trust you, because you showed you cared. That is the way the army is taking back what the enemy has taken from us. I had a poor service guy show up to my house the other day. He didn't know what he was in for. And he came in. First thing I always do is, hey, what's your name? I always want to know somebody's name. And I'm not going to share his name. Just let it be private for him. But during that time that we were there, I asked them, hey, man, what's going on in your life? It was a quick, could have been a quick service call. I don't know if they get paid by the hour or paid by the visit, but he's getting paid by the visit at this one. And we found out, Giselle and I, that his mom had just passed away, and her funeral was the next day, and he's standing in my house. We talked about it. Had a little conversation about some helps for him and his sister as they navigate this. That's called relationship building. And then looked at him and said from behind me, because I knew she was going to say it, she goes, can we pray for you? He didn't let us pray for him, but he said, hey, but if you pray for me like when you do pray, that would be appreciated. Here's how you can pray for my sister. And I said, hey, Clint, is this number that I gave his name? Sorry. If you come across him, he comes in here, don't mess me up, right? And I said to him, I said, this number that you've been using to call me to set up this appointment, is this your cell phone number? And he goes, yeah. I said, do you mind if I keep it? I said, and that's mine. So if you can reach out and you need something, I'm here. That's the army claiming back what the enemy's taken from us by building relationships. We're going to do a lot of things traditionally and non-traditionally in the church and outside the church. There was a gentleman in my previous church when we were going to New Kingdom locations. We were setting them up. And we had this meeting at one of the houses of the people that were going to go to the new location. And this gentleman's name was Orville, like the popcorn. And Orville was sitting up on the deck of this house while everybody was out in the field behind playing games, having chats, cooking hot dogs. And he was just sitting up there by himself. At the time, he was probably about 80 years old. Lifetime member of the church, been there forever. And I walked up and I sat on the deck next to Orville. And I said, "Orville, why are you here?" And I said, it was going to be a video venue at the time. And I said, "Do you like watching the message on video?" "No." I said, "Well, are you excited about the building where the new campus is going to be?" "No." I said, "Well, what about the music? Like, it'll be smaller and a smaller group?" "No." And I said, "Orville, I'm going to go back to my first question. Like, why are you here?" And he said, "Because you said that if we did this and we sacrificed our personal preferences, that more people would come to find Jesus because of it. That's why I'm here." I need all of you to be an Orville. It's got to be every day. That's your goal. But you can't just beat someone over the head with the scripture. You need to build a relationship. You need to care for them. You need to let them develop trust with you. You need to have trust before you can speak into someone's life. Can God create a moment where you can lead someone to Christ in an instant without a relationship? Absolutely. But in today's world, if we can't meet the need that they have that occupies most of their mind every day, they're not going to hear anything you share, or it's going to be very temporary in their mind. If God, out of nothing, could build all of creation, I'm not about to underestimate what he can do in any relationship that I build with someone for their life to be changed, because God is God and he'll always be God in the past, now, and in the future. But we have to step up and say, "Here am I, use me." That's where we have to be. What is it that's in each of our lives? Right now, I want you to think about, if you're not doing this and you just think what I'm saying is totally crazy, everything rises and falls on relationships. What is it that's holding you back? What's the one thing? I'm not talking about sin. If it is that, that could be the one thing. Is it your time? Is it your schedule? Is it whatever? Is it Netflix? I don't know. What is the one thing? Are you afraid to build those relationships? Is the courage lacking? Remember, the disciples wanted to send them away, and from two fish and five loaves, Jesus fed thousands. And they were not only satisfied, like, "Oh, that's good," they were filled. And there was 12 baskets left over. The king I serve can release you of whatever it is that's holding you back. But you, and only you, can lay it down. Nobody else can lay it down for you. Only you can lay it down. And in the moment that Jesus showed up at Lazarus' tomb, and he'd been dead for 4 days, and he goes, "Roll that stone away." And in the moment he knew that God had promised him what he promised him, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And a dead man walked out of a tomb after 4 days of dead. That's the God we serve. And I believe today, we are in a time in our culture where we can sit back in our living rooms or on internet or whatever and complain or post about it or do just that's awful what's happening. Look at that, right? And just do whatever. But I think God right now is in a Lazarus moment, and he's looking and he's saying, church, come forth. He is calling us. We are the army. Our purpose is to take up and be that army relationally with those around us. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Because sometimes when we don't make that physical connection or commitment, it just goes, it's another great sermon. In front of every one of you, to the left, right, or in front, are the connect cards. I want every one of you to take a connect card. There's four tables down front. There should be two in the balcony. And I want you to write three things on that connect card for me and the staff. I want you to write your first name. That's it. Don't want your last name. If you do it by accident, scratch it out, do another one. First name only. And then I want you to write, what is the one thing? If it's more than one, you can write it down. That you need to lay it down so that God can use you in the lives of other people. So your name, and what's the one thing you need to lay down that's preventing you from being part of the army? And then the third thing, I want you to write a number. And I don't want it to be any higher than three. Don't ask me why, I just picked three. Of how many relationships, since I've started speaking this morning, you've thought of that God has specifically placed you as part of his army in that person's life to be there for them. Not to hit them with this, but to love and care and let God create the opportunity for you to speak into their lives when that moment comes. One to three, your first name only. What is the one thing that's preventing you from being part of this army that you need to lay down, that's a personal preference, and then a number from one to three. And as we sing this song, just come down and put it face down on the table. And I'm gonna pick them all up at the end of the service. No one else is gonna pick them up. I'm gonna pick them up. But I need you to know God is calling the church. And the church's time is now. Now, to make a difference. There's almost 1,000 people in this room. That's a lot of places that you've been placed. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that right now, even as we think about our lives and the things that we hold in our hands, the thing I can lay down might even be just writing my name on it. But God, that you would free me from whatever it is that's preventing somebody, that you would free them from whatever it is that's preventing them from becoming part of the army, to investing in relationships where you have strategically placed them to be part of the army that the enemy is more concerned about than they are. Because you're asking us to rise up and be the church. But that comes through building relationships. For Father, more faith journeys will happen outside this room than inside it. There's 1,000 people in here that represent the army across this whole region. And so today, may your army say, yes, I'm taking back what the enemy has stolen from me, and I'm laying down what he keeps bringing up so I can be part of the army. May we have that courage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more about Moncton Wesleyan, we invite you to visit our website at mw.church. We are here to help you with any questions you might have. See you next time.